AW had over 13,000 people in the Little Caesars Arena tonight for their debut in Detroit. Not a bad house for their first time in the market for a special Blood and Guts episode of Dynamite. This entire episode was built around the second ever Blood and Guts match. We all remember the first one. Most people remember the ending to the first one when Chris Jericho took that comical bump off the top of the cage onto the very obvious crash pads down below at Daly's Place. This time, a very different environment. They were not in Daly's Place. Again, they were on the road, packed crowd, hot crowd. This crowd was amped up all night long. The energy in the building, it really made the show that much more enjoyable. And when these two teams first came together, it actually opened with Sammy Guevara and Claudio. This was Claudio Castagnoli's first night on Dynamite. And he's at one end of the cage in one ring. Sammy's in the other end of the ring, or other end of the cage in the other ring. And there was this feeling, there was this energy, this vibe in the air. It really felt like these two teams were about to go to war. It's the kind of feeling that you look for when you have a War Games match. You want to have a match where the crowd is into it. These guys look like they're ready to beat the living hell out of each other. And that's what they gave us. And not a bad night for Claudio, because for his very first appearance on Dynamite, not only was he part of a Blood and Guts match, he won the match for his team. Not a bad way to start out your AEW career. That was a delightfully brutal main event. It delivered exactly what was advertised. For a show that was built entirely around blood and guts, they devoted the entire second hour of the show. From 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, it was all blood and guts. And the only real drawback of it, and this is always the case, is that when you give away a match like that for free on TV, you have the issue of the commercial breaks. And so the commercial breaks, it's no different than if you did an Iron Man match on TV or any kind of long television main event. You've got to take the breaks that come with it. That really is the only critique I have. I knew what this was going to be coming in. There were a few things in the match in terms of some of the violence that was a little over the top, but I thought it was a delightfully brutal main event. And I think that this is going to be one of the better, more enjoyable episodes of Dynamite of the year. I thought from start to finish, this was a hot show. From the opening match until the main event tonight. The main event was a bit marred by what appears to be a very real injury, though. And that is to Santana. Santana came into the match. He did not do a whole hell of a lot. He did not have a chance to. Not long after he came into the match, there was a spot, I believe it was him and Daniel Garcia, where Santana went for a urinage, and it looked like his knee just buckled. Now, it could have been an ankle. Maybe it wasn't the knee. It was either the knee or the ankle. It was one or the other, and it's not going to be good news. There is no update on exactly the nature of the injury. I would be shocked if it did not turn out to be a serious injury. It sucks, and I would love to be wrong about that, but if we find out that it's a torn ACL, I would not be surprised. If it was a torn ACL or a broken ankle, I would not at all be surprised. We did not see him again for the rest of the match. He was tended to off camera. They did help him to the back, and we have no current update. Maybe there'll be an update that comes in during the stream, and if there is, I'll try to bring that to you, but I can almost guarantee you it was a bad knee injury. And so there's no telling how long he'll be out for, if he's going to need surgery. That's what we're waiting to find out. So that sucked. And best wishes to Santana. Hopefully, you know, he can come back soon enough. So that kind of marred things a little bit there in the main event. But otherwise, everybody was out there busting their ass. There was blood everywhere. I mean, it's blood and guts. How do you have a blood and guts match with no blood? I saw two people on my timeline earlier complaining, oh, here's more blood. Hey, dude, the name of the match is Blood and Guts. Pull your head out of your ass. What did you expect? Let's have blood and guts and what, poems? Haikus? I mean, what the fuck did you expect here in this main event? They gave you exactly what they advertised. And very interesting the way they did that finish with both he and Eddie Kingston applying stereo submissions on top of the cage. Claudio's the one who gets his guy to tap out first. How's that going to go over with Eddie Kingston? you could see already building to something with him and Kingston, planting that seed. I like what they did there. So we'll get into all the nuts and bolts of the main event here in a little bit. But I think as far as, you know, doing justice to the War Games stipulation, again, when you, and I'm one of those people who actually does believe that AEW does tend to go way overboard as far as their use of blood. I'm a big believer in less is more. But tonight, it was all about blood. It was all about blood and violence and weapons and all that kind of stuff. And so it doesn't make any sense why people would be complaining about that tonight of all nights. It's called blood and guts, people. Wake up. But I thought these guys knocked it out of the park. So kudos to everybody involved. Jericho, Kingston, Claudio, Moxley. And you know what? 2.0. The 2.0 guys, they went in there. They got their asses handed to them. Menard and Parker. I know it's almost like they're background players as part of that group, but they took a beating in that match, too. They were part of a lot of different moments, including the finish. Sammy Guevara, of course, took his big wacky bump. You knew he was going to do something crazy, so he took the big wacky bump off the top of the cage tonight. And we even got a cool little moment in there with Claudio and Jake Hager. And you don't hear me use the words Hager and cool very much here on these AEW reviews. But we got a little face-to-face with the former tag team partners in the cage tonight as well. So we'll talk about that. Also, something very interesting that they did here on this show tonight is that they did not bring out Jim Ross to do commentary until the second hour. They brought Jim Ross out just as the Blood and Guts main event was getting underway. And I don't know if that was a one-time thing, and I don't know, or if that's going to be the beginning of something new that they're doing where they only use Jim Ross for big matches. Maybe they only bring him out for the second hour of Dynamite. If that's the case, I think that's a great idea. I think Jim Ross in that kind of role would be perfect. That's kind of what they did at Forbidden Door. You know, we had Excalibur, we had Kevin Kelly, and we had Taz. And I thought they were a great trio. And they brought Tony Schiavone out on Sunday for one match. That was to give some background on Sting and the whole dudes with attitudes thing going back to WCW. And then about midway through the show, maybe just past the midway point, they brought Jim Ross out for the Orange Cassidy match, and he stayed out there for the remainder of the pay-per-view. Again, it could be the start of something that they're doing going forward where Jim Ross is not there for all the shows from beginning to end, and I'm okay with that. I think that's a great idea. You know, use Jim Ross maybe a little more sparingly as far as using him in more of a special role. I love the idea because it also gets us more Taz. If Jim Ross is not out there for the full shows, you know, I like Taz. Taz is actually, he works really well with Excalibur, and I know that goes back to their work on Dark. But if we get more Taz on television on commentary, I mean, to me, that's not a bad thing. Although I think they did mention on Rampage this Friday, Taz will not be there and Jim Ross will. I believe that's what they said. Do me a favor, hit that like button if you would do so. I would appreciate that thumbs up. Super chats are open, so get them on in. If you would like to drop a dono, if you would like to support the channel, if you have comments about tonight, I will read your messages. And I want to give a shout out here to a few people here. Timothy Tillis, Robert Parker, and Dope Rebel. Shout out to those guys for re-upping as channel members here in the last couple of days. A week from today, quick reminder, 1 week from today, July 6th, is going to be the next Sound Off watch-along. We've done a few of these this year. I've tied most of them into the 25-year anniversary of various matches. We did that with WrestleMania 13, Bret Hart against Steve Austin. We're going to be doing a brand-new watch-along live on the channel next Wednesday afternoon. Because next Wednesday to the day is 25 years since one of the greatest pay-per-views of all time, Canadian Stampede in Your House, and one of the greatest matches in WWE history, the 10-man tag from the Calgary Saddle Dome. It was the Hart Foundation. Unfortunately, only one member left, but the Hart Foundation against Stone Cold Steve Austin, Ken Shamrock, Goldust, and the Legion of Doom. Think about what that match and what the heat in the building would have been like if they would have had the people they originally wanted. Originally, it would have been Austin, Shawn Michaels, and Sid. and LOD. We didn't even get the all-star lineup. And that is still one of the greatest matches in company history. It's not very often that you find a match or an event where you can, not even being in the building, you can see the building is literally shaking. And that was one of those nights in Calgary. It's been many years since I've gone back and watched it, so we'll bring it up on Peacock. We'll watch it together. Again, that's exclusively for channel members. I'll let you guys know on social media exactly what time, probably noon Eastern or 1 o'clock. I think that's what we did last time. So that'll be coming up next Wednesday. Not only are you going to get a Dynamite review, you'll get a live watch along on the channel as well. So let's get into the show here. The show opened with my boy, Orange Cassidy, coming on out. We knew that this was coming because I talked about it on the podcast. And Tony Khan was not able to get the deal done in time for the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. So when he came out for his match with Will Ospreay on Sunday at the United Center, he came out to the Pixies. He came out to the Pixies music that he has been using now for the past year. And the report, which originally came from Sean Ross Sapp at Fightful, said that he was getting a music change and that Tony Khan had successfully secured the rights to the same music that he was using on the independent scene before he worked for AEW. And the song that he used on the independent scene was a song by Jefferson Starship called Jane, which has been around for many, many, many years. So they didn't get to use it at Forbidden Door. Tonight, they got to use it. And it was in the very first match on the show, first entrance of the show. Out comes Orange Cassidy to his new theme song, his new old theme song. And he comes out, and Jane is hearing it now on television when he came out to it tonight. Jane is such a better song. It's such a better song than Where Is My Mind. I told you guys what I think of the Pixies song. I'm not a big fan of it, but when he comes out for his entrance here, this is such a better song. It's just objectively such a better song. And it didn't sound like people at first, they knew what they were confused. So they didn't really react to it because they weren't sure, okay, who's this music for? And then when his name appeared on the screens and he came out, they popped huge. And so it didn't take them very long to get accustomed to him using this theme music. But he came out with Best Friends. He was out there with Trent Beretta and Chuck Taylor dressed in tie-dye tracksuits. So Chuck is back. You know, I saw a bunch of rumors spreading around on social media earlier today about the fate of Chuck Taylor. Is Chuck Taylor one of these AEW OGs whose contract is just quietly being allowed to expire? Tony Khan's not going to or re-sign him or bring him back or whatever. And it was just people on Twitter who were just, you know, wondering, is this what's going on? And then, boom, there he is on TV tonight. There's Chuck Taylor. He's back on TV tonight. That's why they're called Rumors. There was another song, by the way, many years ago called Rumors. Was it I think that was the Timex Social Club, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if that was considered 80s or 90s. But in any event, yeah, so because there's a lot of rumors like that going around about members of the Dark Order, Allen Angels, and people whose contracts are either just being, you know, allowed to expire, or maybe some guys are going to work on a per appearance deal. I think that's the case with people like Peter Avalon and Leva Bates. But no, Chuck Taylor is still there. He's still part of the Best Friends. So it was Orange Cassidy against All Ego Ethan Page, who came out to the ring with Dan Lambert. And he had a bottle of orange juice in his hand. He complained on the mic about Best Friends being at ringside. He got referee Bryce Remsburg to eject them, so they were sent to the back. Cassidy doing his hands in the pocket shtick, which was very over in Detroit tonight. The people were big time into Orange Cassidy. And Paige cut him off eventually with a big shoulder block. Came back from commercial. Cassidy was making a comeback after a while. Page went for the Ego's Edge. Cassidy was trying to counter it by fitting his hands down into his pockets. He couldn't quite make it, so he tried again, and he couldn't quite make it. And again, the fans were eating this shit up, and I could picture steam coming out of some people's ears watching this at home. but this crowd was, I mean, they were hanging on to every attempt to put his hands in his fucking pockets until finally he was able to do it. Anyway, he reversed the second Ego's Edge attempt into a Hurricanrana, climbed up the ropes. Lambert, though, distracted OC, and that allowed Page to turn it into a power slam for two. There was a funny moment in the match where Page, he smiled wide, and he flipped off a little kid in the crowd. Always fun to do. Cassidy countered a brainbuster attempt into the Stundog Millionaire and hit a spinning DDT for an earfall. He was calling for the orange punch. Lambert hopped up on the apron. Cassidy gave him some of those light strikes that he does. Took Lambert's orange juice out of his hand. Ended up spitting it in his face before delivering not one but two orange punches and a body slam. Now, the body slam is the other thing I forgot to mention here, because he was fighting hard for this body slam at least once, if not more than once, during this match. A simple body slam. See, this is something that even the people, the cornets of the world should be able to appreciate. If they look past their hatred for... Oh, what? Whoa. I got spooked by myself there. There it is. There's Bratty Solomonster. That's what that scream was. Hey, James Cooper just dropped $50 via Super Chat. Holy cow. I scared myself. Young me just scared older me. Thank you, James. I'll be reading your Super Chat here in a little bit. But anyway, I was mentioning the body slam. Even the cornets of the world and the people who hate Orange Cassidy should be able to appreciate how over he got a simple body slam. Talk about ring psychology. He got this fucking move over like it was, you know, the rock bottom or the stone cold stunner. He finally hit the body slam and he won. Now, he did it after two orange punches, but he body slammed the guy, got a big reaction, and he pinned him. And so Orange Cassidy picks up the win. You know, honestly, they were so... You know, far up north, they were so close to Canada, I was kind of surprised that there wasn't more love for Ethan Page than there was. But I thought this was a fun opener, and love the new music. Love the new music. Again, if you want to check it out, you can find, I'm sure it's on Spotify and all those services, Jane by Jefferson Starship. If you are not familiar with the song, you will probably end up enjoying it. Will probably end up on your playlist, would be my guess. After the break, Tony Schiavone was on stage to introduce Christian Cage. He came out, he was dressed, well, I was going to say turtle, I don't know if it was a turtleneck or not, it might have been a turtleneck, but had a jacket on, just out there looking like a douche. Just the way he walks and carries himself, just screams douche. That's why I always said, heel Christian is the best. So, he said that he was asked by AEW management to come out and apologize for the comments that he made last week about Jungle Boy, his family, and in particular, Jungle Boy's father. When he mentioned Jungle Boy's father being dead and how that's probably a good thing because that way he doesn't have to see his son beg and grovel at his feet. So they told him, you have to come out and apologize for your comments. He said he was sorry. But he said that he was sorry Jungle Boy's entire family wasn't dead. Except his mother. And then he looked into the camera and he did the little phone sign and said, call me, to Jungle Boy's mom. So he referred to the fans at one point as Motor City Sweat Hogs. Shout out to Rick Rude. Said that the only good thing about the city is that it's so close to Canada. He also said that we must be wondering why he is out there in street clothes when he had requested a match on TV this week. He said he did that, but he never said that it was a match for him. And then all of a sudden they played new evil-sounding music with evil-sounding fire effects on the screen. For, and I'm not talking like those dumb 3D graphics that we see on WWE every week. I mean, in his Titantron video, it was like fire and brimstone. And out comes a new evil-looking Luchasaurus with a black mask. It's like when Penta went, Penta Oscuro. He went all black. He here comes Luchasaurus. Now he's got a black mask on. It's the newly healed Luchasaurus being led down to the ring by Christian Cage. He destroyed Serpentico, beat him with Jungle Boy's snare trap with a nerve hold applied for the immediate tap out. He and Christian went to go leave. Christian told him to dish out some more damage, and Luchasaurus gave Serpentico a choke slam on the floor. And you could feel the air going out of that poor fucker's lungs. I know that feeling. It doesn't feel good. You got to try to catch your breath. So that looked like a bump that would have sucked to take. But what did I say? I said this last week. I probably said it the week before, too. I said Christian is at his best when he is healed. We're only two weeks in, and he's already proven why. Christian's been great these last 2 weeks. That promo last week and now this. This is just a taste of what we can get. We haven't seen him work. We haven't even seen him work heel yet in the ring. So I'm already loving this Christian heel turn, and I'm liking Luchasaurus Black. I'm liking the Luchasaurus Black look going on here. And I assume that when Jungle Boy is ready to come back and he confronts the dinosaur, we'll find out exactly what it was that Christian said to him that, you know, evidently has led him to, you know, allow Christian to lead him. He has become a believer, I guess, in Christian. Whatever he told him last week when Christian said, we have to go talk in the back. Let's talk in private away from all these idiots. We don't know what Christian said to him, but apparently it was convincing. As far as when Jungle Boy is going to be back, that we don't know. If you missed it, last week I mentioned the fact that he wasn't just out selling the injuries from the attack by Christian. He apparently is dealing with a legitimate shoulder injury. Now, I don't know how serious the shoulder injury is. I mean, it could be serious. A shoulder injury is nothing to play around with. You know, are we talking about something where he'll be out for a few weeks? Or is this something he needs surgery for? You know, AEW is very, when it comes to injuries, very WWE-like. You know, with their secrecy when it comes to a lot of these injuries and certain illnesses. And yeah, illnesses I can understand, but when it comes to injuries, I don't know what the big secret is. So we don't know the severity of Jungle Boy's injury. But for the time being, I think I like the idea of heel Luchasaurus going around killing people and Christian being the one to kind of lead him around. And maybe make him his muscle when Christian himself starts to get back into the ring and wrestle a little bit more. But this is exactly what I was hoping for when we saw that Christian heel turn a few weeks ago. And so far, it's only been a couple of weeks, but so far, I really like what I'm seeing. Griga, thank you for the $2. He says, it's gotta be Luchasaurus. It's gotta be. Although his mask is not nearly as cool as Kane's original mask. But the only cool thing these days I can say about Kane. Scorpio Sky and Wardlow were backstage with Tony Schiavone, who reminded them of their no physicality agreement. He made it very clear. No physicality, you guys agreed to it. Wardlow said that he didn't care about American Top Team. Bring all of American Top Team. And he would beat all of them just like they were the security guards that he beat up a few weeks ago. His goal to take the TNT championship. That is what he wants from Scorpio Sky. And Scorpio challenged him to a street fight next week. And so that match is official. And, you know, when this segment was over, I mean, it was brief. I had almost forgotten about Wardlow. I mean, this is a guy who a month ago, heading into Double or Nothing, was probably the hottest thing in the entire company. Through that program with MJ, well, him and MJF both. Now MJF is gone for the time being, and Wardlow has been on the back burner. So all that build to the Forbidden Door did not do him any favors at all. And hopefully now that that's in the rearview mirror, they can get him, you know, heated up again. It'd be very interesting next week on TV to see what kind of reaction he gets when he comes out. Is the reaction as wild and as hot as it would have been for him a month ago? I don't know, and I don't know where Dynamite is next week. I don't know. Maybe somebody can check on it in the chat for me and find out. But, yeah, sometimes it just depends on the market. It just depends on what city that you're in But I'm going to be paying very close attention. So what kind of reaction, how big of a reaction does Wardlow get next week? Because, again, a month ago, he was white hot, and he's definitely cooled off because the focus was on Forbidden Door, and that was a show that he was not on. They did not, you know, get a match for him, and so he's almost just kind of been forgotten about in a way. And we don't need another TNT title program like we had with Scorpio Sky and Sammy Guevara. So for the sake of the TNT title, I'm hoping that this can, you know, kind of heat things back up a little bit. But Wardlow definitely lost a little bit of shine over the last month. There's no doubt about that. Not his fault. It's just the nature of him not being featured, not really having anything to do. He went right from that hot program with MJF to a feud with Mark Sterling and a bunch of random no-name security geeks. You know, there was only one place to go but down. You know, down was the only place for him to go. Now it's time to help build him back up again. We had Max Caster and the Gun Club against Danhausen and some mystery partners. We didn't know who the mystery partners would be, only that Danhausen was going to pick two mystery partners to tag with him against Max Caster and the Gun Club. And so Danhausen comes out, he gets on the mic and introduces his partners, and they play FTR's music, and the place popped huge for the Ring of Honor, AAA, and IWGP Tag Team Champions. Max Caster, by the way, in his rap, he made reference to Danhausen being a juggalo, and he mocked the drinking water in Flint, Michigan, so always good for some cheap heat there. The people loved FTR. People loved Dax and Cash, but the people loved Danhausen just as much. And again, we saw Orange Cassidy in the first match, right? Here we had Danhausen. If you are not a fan of comedy, if you are not a fan of these kind of silly gimmicks, then you probably, you hated the first like half hour of this show. But you cannot watch the show tonight and watch that crowd reaction in the opening match to Orange Cassidy and watch that crowd reaction here in this segment to Danhausen and not understand why it is that Tony Khan features them on television. You would have to be an imbecile with bad hearing to not understand why they are featured and to not understand that this audience loves these guys, which is why they are featured as much as they are, which is why Tony Khan would go out of his way to probably pay a nice small fortune, I would imagine, to get the rights to use a song. A second song, by the way. He already paid money last year for the Pixie song. Now he's paid money for this song. He wouldn't do that for just anybody. Orange Cassidy is one of the hottest acts in the company. And Danhausen hasn't even been around that long. He comes out, he gets these wild reactions. People love him. So the next time you hear somebody say, oh my God, these guys are jokes. What is wrong with Tony Khan? Why is he featuring them? Why does he have them on his show? Get them off TV, put them on YouTube. I want you to show them a copy of the first 30 minutes of the show. And that will tell you all that you need to know. You know, it might not be for you, but for the vast majority of the people who watch this show, they fucking love this shit. These guys are over. These guys are more over than some of your, you know, real wrestlers. Look, I don't get it half the time either, but you go with what works. Simple as that. You go with what works. And Cassidy and Danhausen were, two of the top three or four hottest acts on the entire show tonight. So Austin Gunn and Cash Wheeler started things off. Dax and then Danhausen entered. And Danhausen ended up getting isolated in the heel corner. Eventually, though, he escaped. He got the tag to Dax Harwood. FTR hit stereo rolling Germans to the Gun Club. Dax got taken down. He had to make a tag. Crawls over to his corner, and he realizes that there's no Cash Wheeler. But the one person who is extending their arm for the tag is Danhausen. And I love this. I love this part of things here. So he looked like he reluctantly made the tag to Danhausen. And I love how even when FTR came out and made their entrance, Harwood is so, you know, he's made no bones about the fact that he's a Bret Hart guy, you know? He's just this scrappy, old-school, classic, professional wrestler, right? There's nothing fancy about him. There's nothing comedy about him. I mean, they tried to do comedy in WWE with him and Cash, and they had, you know, the skit with them and the Usos in the back, and they're shaving each other's backs, and it's comedy, man. So, yeah, okay, fine. But he's not a comedy guy, right? He's a wrestler. And I love how he's such a wrestler, such a pure wrestler. When he came out, he didn't even acknowledge Danhausen. Even Wheeler, I think, went over and acknowledged him or shook his hand or whatever. Dax just kept walking. Like, he blew right past the guy. Like, he wasn't even there, right? Like, almost like he was disgusted by him. Like, all right, I'm happy to come out here and wrestle, and I'll be your partner, but, like, I don't like you. I don't get you. And so here, he realizes there's nobody else to tag. I guess I have to tag the fucking clown. And he tags him into that. That's kind of the vibe I got from Dax here in this match. So Danhausen comes in. He lands a pump kick on Austin Gunn. Gave the signal for CM Punk's go to sleep. And he hoisted him up on his shoulders. And Billy Gunn distracted the referee. Anthony Bowens then, who of course has been sitting in his wheelchair. He's being wheeled to the ring now for months. By Billy Gunn as he recovered from his knee surgery. He miraculously gets in the ring. It's a miracle. He can stand. And he gets in the ring, and he's got the crutch with him, and he's going to hit Danhausen with the crutch. Danhausen avoids it, and instead he hits Austin Gunn by accident in the head with the crutch. Danhausen then covers Austin, and he gets the win for his team. So Danhausen, already, you know, one of the most popular people in the building, picks up the win for his team. And when the match was over, Austin shoved Bowens. Billy Gunn then shoved his own sons back, and he defended his real sons. He was taking the side of his real sons, the Acclaimed. And Austin and Colton, they left. So there's trouble in paradise. Now that Bowens is obviously cleared and recovered, it's almost a shame if they break them up, because they've gotten over organically, the whole, you know, the Gun Club and the Acclaimed. But we all knew this day was coming. Once Bowens was ready to make his return, we knew that this was coming. But where does Billy Gunn's allegiance lie? I guess that's the question now. We don't know. As the world turns, we'll find out next week. Remember what I said. I think that all roads need to lead to FTR against the Bucks one more time, right? I think they're one win apiece. I believe the first match they ever had, if I remember correctly, the Bucks won that one. FTR won the rematch on Dynamite a few months ago. I think they're due for a rubber match, unless there's a match I'm not thinking of that I'm missing. And they can do that match at All Out, right? The stage is set. Winner take all. And you could have FTR win the AEW tag team titles. It would go great with their collection that they're building up. But once you get that match out of the way, I think it's high time to get a newer, younger team over and get them in the mix, right? You can only do the Bucks and FTR and Jurassic Express, who have been there since day one, and even the Lucha Bros so many times. They have so many teams on this roster, and some young teams too. Top Flight, you know, Darius is out hurt again, so can't do anything with them right now. But the acclaimed are over. They got to start winning, like, now that Bowens is back. If we're going to see him back in the ring, they've got to start winning matches, because they're a couple of fucking losers. When that bell rings, they're a couple of fucking losers. Everything about them screams star until the bell rings. They got to get some wins under their belt. When they start to win, you can groom them, I think, to be the ones to take those titles away from FTR when the time is right. That's what I'd like to see them do with the Acclaim. But now is the time. Right now is the time to start to get them some wins. That's their biggest Achilles heel. The way they're booked, they're not booked to be winners. we have the date for the next Ring of Honor pay-per-view. At least we got some Ring of Honor news. Still nothing new, of course, on television or anything like that. But we do now know when the pay-per-view is going to be, that being their next one, the first one since the Supercard of Honor back in April. So their next pay-per-view is going to be Death Before Dishonor on Saturday, July 23rd. I like the new ROH logo. I wish that's what I meant to do. I meant to pull the logo to show you guys. But they had the new Ring of Honor logo was, you know, in the graphic on the screen. And I like it. I like the new logo. I like how it pays homage to the original logo. It's basically a spruced up, nicer looking version of the original Ring of Honor logo from 20 years ago. And I laugh because if you remember, it was not that many weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, whatever it was. Everybody was making such a big stink about those trademark filings with the U.S. Trademark and Copyright Office because they had to submit some sketches of this supposed new Ring of Honor logo. And people were bitching about, oh, it looks terrible. It looks so basic. You know, not understanding that those are just sketches. They just had to submit something. That doesn't mean that it's the final actual logo that's going to be used. And now that we see it, it's like, all right, bozos, as you could tell, nobody ever said that was going to be the final copy, the final logo, what it was going to look like. I think it looks great. It's very simple. You know, it's not meant to look futuristic or, you know, like what WCW did to their stupid logo in the late 90s when it turned into like a Star Trek logo, which looked fucking awful. You know, it's very simple. And again, I like that it is a throwback to the original logo. So I think they nailed it with that one. But that's coming up on July 23rd. We had a promo video here with Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, Satnam Singh. Dutt and Lethal demanded that Samoa Joe sign a contract to defend his Ring of Honor television title at the pay-per-view against Jay Lethal. And Satnam said, Jay's gonna kill you, playing off of course, the Joe chance of Joe is gonna kill you. Yeah, and that's exactly, you know, Metal Rules in the chat. It's a more, or Albie, I'm sorry. Although, shout out to Metal Rules as well. But as Albie said, it's a modern spin on the old logo. Which I think is the vibe that Tony Khan was always going for, because Tony Khan, you know, he was a Ring of Honor fan. He was a fan of the original Ring of Honor. And so, you know, if you're a fan of the original, it kind of makes sense that, you know, this new logo would just be a spruced up version of the original. We had the TBS Championship Open Challenge with Jade Cargill defending her title against Layla Gray. Never heard of Layla Gray before, but Taz was going nuts for her on commentary that she was from Queens, so that's all it takes to impress Taz. If you're from Queens or maybe Brooklyn, then if you're from Red Hook, then you got an in with him. You can be in Team Taz. Jade manhandled her right from the start, hit a fallaway slam, kipped up. Layla fired up with a rising knee strike, but Jade just obliterated her with a pump kick. Hit the Jaded for the win. After the match, Stokely Hathaway was about to speak. Jade ripped the microphone out of his hand and said that she was tired of everybody in the back bitching and moaning. She demanded that Hathaway give her some real competition. And Hathaway said, only someone who didn't even work for AEW had the wherewithal to step up to the open challenge. He insulted Athena and Chris Statlander, and then immediately, as if it were on cue, they played Athena's music. And out comes Athena and Chris Statlander running like they're in a friggin' sprint down to the ring. I'm like, please don't tear a knee. They were sprinting down to the ring. And they attacked Jade and Kiera Hogan in the ring. No Red Velvet because she is on the injured list. I guess after tonight, AEW unfortunately can add at least one more to that list. We'll get to him in a little bit. Stokely got in Layla Gray's ear. On the outside, he said something to her. And when Athena went up top to set up for the eclipse, or whatever it is that she's calling it, what is she calling it now? The O face? Is that what she's calling it? Is that really what she's calling it? Is that better or worse than the BBC? I don't know. Somebody told me now it's called the O face. Well, I still call it the eclipse. Before she could do it, though, Layla shoved her off the top. So now Layla is helping the woman who just kicked her ass. So I don't know if she's a new official baddie or not, but Jade kind of blew her off after the match and walked out. This, by the way, is your weekly reminder here on the stream that Chris Statlander should be the person to eventually take the TBS title from Jade Cargill. There you go. That's my public service announcement for the week. We cut to the back. We had a segment with the AEW Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson sitting backstage on a couch talking about how their friends were all injured. Bobby is injured. Kyle is injured. Adam is injured. No update on Adam Cole, by the way. The belief, though, is that he had suffered a concussion at the Forbidden Door show, which is a shame because I believe that he may have suffered a concussion at Double or Nothing, which is why he was off television and out of the ring for a few weeks after the last pay-per-view. And if that's the case, that's back-to-back concussions, and that's never a good thing. So hopefully Adam Cole will get well soon. But they're talking about all their friends and how they're all hurt, and the only people that can, or the only thing that can relate to them is their tag team titles. Their only friends left in the world are those AEW tag team titles. Matt said that he heard that Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto of New Japan wanted to challenge them for the AEW tag team titles. He said that they're not going to get title shot right away. However, they will give them a non-title match to let them prove themselves on Rampage this Friday. So the Forbidden Door is not yet closed. Despite what Okada said at the media scrum the other day, the Forbidden Door is not closed. The Forbidden Door is ajar. It is still cracked open a little bit. We're not done yet with New Japan. So now we're going to get the Young Bucks against Goto and Yoshihashi on Rampage this Friday, being taped tonight. In fact, the match is probably over by now. In what I guess is it's kind of like their version, I guess, of one of these WWE Championship Contenders matches, and you know my thoughts on that. You know how I feel about these Championship Contenders matches. Not a big fan of them. So they introduced Jim Ross, who came out to his Boomer Sooner music. Here comes good old JR. And he was going to be joining for the main event. They hyped up the main event. They were talking about the main event as they lowered the cage. They had an entire hour left in the show. So again, they devoted the entire second hour of this show to the Blood and Guts match, which I loved, right? Because they knew there were going to be a series of commercial breaks, so I'm sure they wanted to give it the maximum amount of time. Not only did Jim Ross come out to do commentary for this main event, even better. And I don't think we need 4, 5, 6 people on commentary. But William Regal on commentary is something I will never complain about. So they brought out Jim Ross and they brought out William Regal to do commentary for the Blood and Guts match. It was the Jericho Appreciation Society against the Blackpool Combat Club, John Moxley, the new interim AEW World Champion, Eddie Kingston, Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, Santana, and Ortiz. Tried to roll my R there. Didn't really work. Ortiz. There we go. Ortiz. You like that? I'm getting better at it. Ortiz. Jericho's group had the man advantage. Two men start, followed by 4-minute intervals. Once all 12 men have entered, the match officially begins, at which point it becomes submission or surrender. It's a War Games match. And you all know the genesis of the Blood and Guts name. It all goes back to Vince McMahon on that one WWE conference call, the investors call, where he said, "We don't do that. We don't do that Blood and Guts stuff that the other company does." And Tony Khan says, "Aha! We have a new gimmick match that's been born called Blood and Guts." Actually, I think it was Vince saying that he didn't think the suits at TNT would go for the Blood and Guts type of stuff. Boy, was he wrong. For all the blood that we get on these shows and all the different, the violence and everything else, TNT, TBS, they love this shit. All it would take is one phone call and say, "Hey, Tony, no more." And that would be the end of it. So believe me, they love it. They love it. They're hoping for a big rating this week. I by the way, if I had to make a prediction, I would expect that the rating would be up, but I still don't think they're going to hit 1 million this week. I don't think they will. So who said, what was that? I still sound like the Count? Why is everybody saying that I sound like the Count? Isn't that how it's said? Ortiz. What is wrong with that? I say Ortiz. Santana and Ortiz. What? I sound like the Count? Well, then maybe the Count was Hispanic. You ever think about that? Maybe he was, because he was purple, that means he can't be Hispanic. Maybe he was Hispanic. Keep making fun of me. You see what happens. So Jericho's crew came out first. They were dressed in red. They would all be dressed. Everybody in this match was going to be dressed in red by the time this thing was over. Eddie Kingston was out with Santana and Ortiz, followed by Claudio to a huge pop, and Wheeler Yuta, and John Moxley entered last through the crowd. Claudio and Eddie Kingston, they put their differences aside for one night only. They were cool with each other here. They weren't at each other's throats or anything like that. Sammy Guevara started the match for the Jericho Appreciation Society. Claudio started things for the Blackpool Combat Club. This is one hell of a first match for Claudio here on Dynamite. Tell you that, entering a War Games match for his very first television match with this new company. Not a bad way to debut. Crowd was hyped. It's had a big fight feel to it. It had like an old school War Games feel to it. If you've seen any of the old school War Games matches, this is the kind of crowd investment that you want for a match like this. So Claudio drilled him in each corner, uppercuts in each corner to Sammy. Sammy was trying to avoid him. He was springboarding from one rope to the other rope, from one ring to the other ring, just to get away from this guy. Eventually, Claudio got him locked in for the swing, but Daniel Garcia was the next one in, and he broke it up heading into the first break of the match. I think they had about four. I think it was a total of about four breaks, I believe. And so the only drawback to doing these matches on TV are the ad breaks. And so it's a necessary evil. I mean, I understand why they do it. They have no choice, right? It's out of their control. You're going to have a television show or a podcast these days. I mean, this is what has to be done, right? So when we came back, Wheeler Yuta was in next, and he ran wild with German suplexes. Jake Hager was in after that for the Jericho crew, and he took out Yuta. Claudio took out Sammy. And we were left with a stare down between two former real Americans. And there was a buzz in the crowd. They were amped up to see this. Because once upon a time, these two guys ended up making a pretty damn good tag team in WWE. And it was not a team that I was sold on at first. I've talked about, you know, how Cesaro over the years in WWE, he was treated more like a tag team specialist. And he had that great team with Chris Hero back in the day when they were the Kings of Wrestling. But, you know, Cesaro came in as a single star. And he spent most of his career in WWE in a tag team. Whether it was with Jake Hager, whether it was with Sheamus, whether it was with Tyson Kidd, whether it was with Shinsuke Nakamura, they always put him with somebody, and he always knocked it out of the park. But by the end of their run together, he and Jack Swagger, they got that shit over. And they would come out and they'd put their hands to their chest and the crowd would chant, you know, they would chant for these guys. And so what happened? WWE broke them up. Of course, because when something gets over, we've got to end it. We've got to squash it. We've got to end it. We've got to break them up. So that's what they did. And so they actually never took that team as far as they could have and as far as they should have. And they really only started to get over in a big way right at the very end when, unfortunately, they went their separate ways. But we had Hager in one ring. We had Claudio in the other. Claudio marched into the same ring, and they started throwing shots at each other. We got the We the People chant. I mean, you know, these people, what was the last time you heard Jake Hager get a chance like this for anything? So the people were eating this up. And I will always maintain that the Real Americans turned into one of the better teams in WWE, probably in the last 15 years. They were a really good team. They really were. John Moxley was in next with a chair. Of course he was. I mean, he had more than a chair on him. He had a whole friggin' toolbox in his pockets and everything, all kinds of weapons and stuff. Of course, Moxley would be the one to start bringing weapons into the ring. I mean, there's a reason why this guy is the GCW heavyweight champion. Not only is he the AEW world champion, he is still the GCW world champion. There's a reason for that. So he pulled out a fork. He started carving up Daniel Garcia's head. He got split open. Moxley held Garcia up for Wheeler to hit the heart attack. Wheeler comes off the ropes, and Wheeler, Yuta, they complete the heart attack. Nice little old-school Heart Foundation nod there. Claudio then pressed Sammy overhead and dropped him into a cutter by Moxley, so there was some good tag team offense going on here, some actual wrestling before things degenerated into a giant brawl. Angelo Parker was in next, and he hesitated. When he realized that all of his boys were down and he was outnumbered, 3-1 or 4-1, whatever it was, and he tried to get away. He was running, he was rolling and rolling and running and running and rolling, and he couldn't get away. And eventually Claudio caught him and gave him a gut-wrench suplex. The Jericho crew, though, they did start to make a comeback. Hager took a chair to Claudio's ankle, which looked like it missed by 6 inches. Ortiz was in next, the newly shaved head and all. Ortiz comes in. He's got the, I guess it was the dead president's face paint on. Santana didn't, but Ortiz did. And they cut to another commercial. During the commercial, they showed us when we came back from the break. During the commercial, Moxley had spread broken shards of glass on the mat, which is so stupid. And I always hate it when they introduce glass into these things. And yeah, hopefully it was, you know, sugar glass or something, but knowing Moxley, it probably was. And he probably took a fucking bottle in the back and broke it up and brought it into the match. But I hate, whenever I see glass in a match, I fucking hate it. That's why all those garbage matches and, you know, some of the matches in GCW and a lot of the shit that I would see in CZW back in the day, all the stuff with light tube, I hate that shit. I fucking hate it. I don't like it. So many things can go wrong. They usually do. And anyway. He gave Parker a pile driver on the glass, which opened him up. When we came back from the break, though, and that happened during the break, we got the replay after. When we came back from the break, Matt Menard came in with a chair, which again gave Jericho's team the man advantage. The clock was ticking down after a while, and Eddie Kingston was helping Santana bring a table into the cage. And Santana also brought a baseball bat in with him wrapped in barbed wire. And it wasn't long after this. I don't know how much longer after he got into the cage it happened. It wasn't very long. I feel like it was right after he got in. He didn't have much time to do anything in this match. And Santana got hurt. And the spot where it happened, he was giving a urinage to Daniel Garcia, I believe it was. I wrote Garcia's name down in my notes. He went to give him a urinage, and as he came down, it just looked like his leg buckled underneath him, just the way he planted it. So it didn't look as if he was giving him a move and like his knee went out. It looked to me like just the way his leg was planted and the way that he was coming down with the guy's weight, something happened. It could have been the ankle. I think it was the knee. And maybe he blew his ACL, maybe, you know, he blew his knee out and it's not the ACL, which I hope it isn't, because if it's the ACL, then you can say goodbye Santana for the next 6 to 9 months. It was bad. And it was bad enough that we didn't see him for the rest of the match. He was down for a very, very long time. And eventually he was helped out of the cage and to the back. And we didn't see him again. And that was not a worked injury. That was not part of the plan, I assure you. He would have loved to have been there on top of that cage when this was over with all the rest of his teammates, but he got hurt. And I'm still waiting to find out exactly how serious the injury is. I'll check in a little bit and see if there's any kind of an update, but it did not look good. And it sucks that that happened. And to think, you know, think of all the carnage that we saw and all the weapons and the thumbtacks and the forks and the glass and all the shit that we saw in this match. And he gets hurt doing a simple wrestling move and just the way that he planted his leg. You know, it's not unlike how Rick Boogs got hurt at WrestleMania, although he was trying to do too much. You know, he was trying to get both Usos up for a double Samoan drop, and just his you know, his frame or whatever couldn't support it. And that's a case where the guy's knee just buckled. That's not what this looked like to me. You know, WrestleMania, that was the guy's knee just buckling under the pressure. This, again, it just looked to me like the way it was planted, and it was just, you know, in the wrong spot, and then it just didn't end well. But one thing that they did here in this match, and I liked, is the fact that they left Jericho and Kingston as the last two members of their respective teams. Kingston was out there. He was like a caged animal, but outside the cage. He was a caged animal who couldn't wait to get into the cage. And all he wanted to do was get his hands on Jericho. He wanted to murder this man. So I like the way they built that up. Claudio propelled Sammy about 10 feet in the air at one point, caught him with an uppercut on the way down. Moxley pulled out barbecue skewers. Again, Moxley had all of these little goodies that he brought in with him. And he would, you know, bust that at various points in the match. So he had those wooden barbecue skewers. And he jammed them into Menard's forehead. And so now Matt Menard is bleeding all over the place. I think pretty much everybody except, I want to say, I don't remember seeing Hager busted open. Claudio wasn't. Eddie wasn't. But I think almost everybody else was. Or at least had some blood on them. Mainly, though, it was the 2.0 members and Daniel Garcia. I'm trying to think if Yuta was busted open. Moxley was. They opened up his wound from the pay-per-view the other night. But there was no shortage of blood here in this match. But Jericho, so the clock is ticking down here, right? Jericho enters the fray. So here comes Chris Jericho. He is wearing the most obnoxious little red hat that you have ever seen. I wanted to get into the cage and wrap a telephone cord around this guy's throat. So he gets into the cage. He also had Floyd the baseball bat with him, and he hits Claudio with it. There was a spot where Yuta and Daniel Garcia, they got into a slap fight. They were standing in between both rings, in that gap, right between both rings. And they're just smacking the shit out of each other. And the place started to pop for that. Claudio hit the pop-up uppercut to Daniel Garcia. But he turned around and got caught by a code breaker by Chris Jericho. So now the countdown clock is on the screen. And they're counting down to... Ant in the chat says, love that hat. Hmm. Love that hat, huh? I don't know about your fashion sense, but if you say so. So they're counting down to Eddie Kingston. Here he comes. Here comes Eddie Kingston with a kendo stick in hand. I was waiting for it. I didn't know who it was going to be, but I knew that kendo stick would find its way into this fucking match at some point. So here comes Eddie Kingston with the kendo stick. And the bell rings, because now the match is officially underway. The match could not end until all 12 men have entered. Now all 12 men have entered. Ding, ding, ding. Now the match is officially underway. Now it's submission or surrender. So he comes in with the kendo stick. He's walking across both rings. Because Jericho's all the way on the other end of that second ring. And he's trying to get out. He's begging for them to open the door. So here comes Eddie. He's making his way. He's trekking his way from the end of one ring towards Jericho in the corner of the other, and he's whacking anybody in his way. He's smacking people in the head with this kendo stick, and finally he makes his way over to Jericho, starts hitting him with the kendo stick, and then pulls out a bottle of rubbing alcohol, but he gets knocked down. He drops the bottle. There was a spot where Jake Hager got triple powerbombed onto the table that Santana had brought into the ring. And it looked like the back of his head, it looked like it because that's exactly what happened. the back of his head smacked the table. The table broke, but it broke very slowly and very, like, it was the most gentle break that you've ever seen. So the table did split down the middle, but it was like a, almost like a delayed split. It was like delayed by a second, but the back of his head definitely smacked that table. And he had a delayed reaction too, because it took about 3 seconds. And finally he grabbed the back of his head, like, you know, the back of his head was hurting. Moxley and Yuta emptied bags of thumbtacks in the second ring, and Mox gave Matt Menard an X-plex onto the tacks, which is basically you pick the guy up for a suplex, but you let him go. And so he landed back first right on the tacks, and he had them all sticking out of his back. Claudio and Ortiz, they started ripping up the canvas in the first ring to expose the boards underneath. I don't think anything really came from that. They ripped them up only in like part of the ring, like in a certain corner of the ring. But, you know, back to the break. And when we came back, Jericho was... And actually, this is one of the sicker spots of the entire match. Jericho was dragging Moxley on his back around the second ring on the tacks. So he's dragging him through the thumbtacks. And then he applies the Walls of Jericho in the tacks. Kingston grabbed a fistful of thumbtacks and just chucked them in Jericho's face to break the hold. Jericho retreated, and he grabbed a fire extinguisher and fired it at Kingston. But Eddie was... this was... I don't know if you call it a botch, but Jericho fires the fire extinguisher. He sprays it at him. Eddie is a little too far away, so Eddie has to lean into it. So, like, he is not in the line of fire initially, but to sell the spot, he's got to look like he's actually being sprayed in the face. And so Eddie leans in, so that was kind of ridiculous. On the outside, Ty Conti knocked the referee down, stole the key to open the door. And Excalibur and the announcers are freaking out about this. All of a sudden, here comes Ruby Soho. Now, Ruby Soho was featured in the video package to this match, and she was talking about, especially Eddie Kingston and how well she knows him and all that, and some of the storyline heat with him and Claudio. So it's important to note that she was featured in the video package here. She's friends with these people, so, you know, it's not totally like, what the fuck is she doing out here? But here comes Ruby Soho, running down to the ring, and she attacks Ty Conti, and she takes her down to the floor, and now these two women are brawling all the way to the back. Jericho, though, got out of the cage. She had helped open the door. Jericho gets out of the cage. He starts scaling the cage, the apparatus, whatever that long beam is on the side. He's scaling and climbing to the top of the cage, all the way to the top. Eddie looks up and goes, "Aha, you think you're going to get away, huh?" And Eddie climbs up after him. We end up with Jericho and Kingston on top of the cage, and they're fighting on top of the cage. And Eddie catches him with the spinning back fist. And down goes Jericho. Here comes Sammy Guevara. He's going to try to save his buddy. He's going to try to save his boy. Eddie, the big spot of the match was Eddie sending Sammy Guevara off the cage to his doom. So in the first Blood and Guts match, if you remember, in that first match that we got last year, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the stream, it was Jericho who MJF sent flying off the side of the cage, and Jericho took that bump onto the crash pads. And then there was this whole thing where people were saying, well, you know, my God, people wanted Chris Jericho to die. They wanted Chris Jericho to legitimately get hurt, because they're complaining about the fact that he landed on a crash pad. And of course, that was just people being stupid. They knew full well why people were criticizing the spot. People were not criticizing the spot because they wanted to see Chris Jericho fucking die. They criticized the spot because it looked like shit, because of the way it was shot, because it looked fake. There's a way to shoot it. That's what the criticism was. But you had all these morons who were like, I can't believe all these people that want Jericho to get hurt, as if there shouldn't be any crash pad there. These people have crash pads for brains. That's not what most people if there were people who wanted Jericho to get hurt because there were crash pads, well, then those people can go fuck themselves. But the majority of the smart people with actually actual functioning brains, that's not what they were saying. So this time was a little bit different. So Eddie sends Sammy, and he takes a header off the side of the cage. And he goes down through the timekeeper's table, and whatever was underneath it, it was almost like there was something, it was stacked on top of something. And what that is, I'm sure, was a crash pad. I'm sure that's what was underneath. But they did a good job of disguising it. And so that goes back to the criticisms of the last one. That's all anybody was saying, is that either the crash pad could have been better disguised, or even better, the way you shoot it, you don't shoot it so that you're showing the fact that there's a fucking crash pad. So we didn't have that issue this time. The crash pad was hidden away underneath the timekeeper's table, and the spot looked great. And Sammy went crashing to the table, and he looked like he was out there and he was dead. And it looked great. The way it was shot, the way he took the bump, Eddie's on top of the cage, he's laughing, he's smiling. How often do we actually see laughing, smiling Eddie Kingston, right? Not very often. So I thought they did a great job with it this time, as far as the big climactic spot is concerned. And we cut to our final picture-in-picture break at that point. Back from the break, Jericho had Kingston in the walls on top of the cage. But here comes Claudio, and he climbs up. He gives Jericho a running boot to the face on top of the cage. And he gave Jericho a giant swing on top of the cage, 15 feet, 20 feet in the air, however high up they were. It's a great visual. He gave him at least 10 revolutions, 10 rotations around. And then he set him up for the sharpshooter, but here comes Matt Menard. Bloody Matt Menard climbs up on the top of the cage and breaks it up. Kingston locked Jericho in the stretch plum, which I believe they pointed out on commentary is the move that he used to beat Jericho when they had their first pay-per-view match together. So he's got him locked in the stretch plum, and he would love nothing more. You know that Eddie Kingston would love nothing more than to submit Chris Jericho and for that to be the way the blood and guts ends, right? But while he's got him in the stretch plum, Claudio puts Matt Menard in the sharpshooter, and Menard taps out. And so Claudio, his first match on Dynamite, his very first blood and guts match, he wins the match for his team. He wins the match for the Blackpool Combat Club. And Eddie Kingston was not happy. He wanted to be the one to submit Jericho. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that Claudio stole his thunder here. And Menard tapped before he had a chance to tap out Jericho. But he did let Claudio help him up. Now, it looked like he was mouthing to Claudio that his back was all fucked up. Which I hope was just part of him selling, because then I wonder how he managed to climb down from the cage if his back was all screwed up, because he was sitting there for a while before finally he let Claudio help him up to his feet. But all the members of the babyface team, except for Santana, who had already been taken away to the back, all the other members of the team, Ortiz, Wheeler, Yuta, who else was on that team besides Moxley? Who am I missing? We had Claudio was up there already. Eddie was up there. Santana was gone. I guess that's it. Ortiz. And then we had Moxley. So Moxley is climbing, and you could tell Moxley was very hesitant to climb. I would be too. I'm deathly afraid of heights. So Moxley is almost up there, and Claudio's like, here, I'll help you. He's giving him his hand to help him. It took Moxley a while before he finally, you know, made it to the top of the cage safely and looked comfortable up there. But they're all up there celebrating. And, you know, I was thinking, we didn't get it at the pay-per-view, and up to this point, everything was cool, right? JR called him Claudio, and everything was great. And it took until the last, like, 90 seconds of the show. And JR let one slip, and he called him Cesaro. He almost made it through the entire show, including Forbidden Door, two shows, without a Cesaro mention, but he got one in there at the end. He called him Cesaro. Not the end of the world, but I was waiting to see. I thought he was going to make it, but he couldn't help himself. And that is how they went off the air, with all the baby faces celebrating up on top. Again, a shame what happened to Santana, that he couldn't be up there to celebrate with all of his buddies. But I thought this was an excellent, bloody, violent main event that lived up to the name. I thought, as War Games matches go, I thought that they paid good tribute to the stipulation. You know, when you have a War Games match, you want to have a match between two warring groups that have a legitimate beef with each other. And credit to Eddie Kingston more than anybody. The way that he has hyped up this feud and his disdain and his hatred, his pure hatred for Chris Jericho, is really what sold the match. You believe that he wanted to get his hands on this guy in the worst way. And these two groups have been feuding now for a few months, and it felt like the time was right. And this was the right stipulation to blow it off. And now it's blown off. And now they can kind of split off into other things. But I thought that they paid good tribute, I thought, to the stipulation. Probably the longest main event in Dynamite history, I'm guessing. I don't know if this was longer or a little bit shorter than the first Blood and Guts match. I didn't check, but certainly one of, if not the longest main event in Dynamite history. I love that they gave it time, even with all the commercial breaks. Again, that's just part of the package, but they gave them the entire second hour. This entire show tonight was based around Blood and Guts, and they did not skimp. This is not like promoting a main event on a television show, and it's 9:53, and the main event is first going to the ring. We've had that before on wrestling shows, now haven't we? This was the match that people were waiting for, and they gave it plenty of time. And outside of the Santana injury, I don't really have anything to complain about. I think everybody played their part well, and you know, they took a beating, there was blood, there was violence, and there's a story there. There's a budding story of Claudio stealing Eddie Kingston's thunder. What is that going to lead to? Where is that going to go? I'm sure it's going to go somewhere. We'll have to wait and see where that is. But I thought that was an excellent main event. Excellent way to cap off the show. And hey, kudos to that crowd in Detroit. Their first time in Detroit tonight, they claimed 13,000 people. And it was somewhere in that 12 to 13,000 range, legit. And that crowd was loud as hell all night long. And just like Chicago, the Forbidden Door the other night, it just goes to show you how a hot crowd that's invested in what they're seeing and who they're seeing and reacts to these guys. You know, the reactions like this is what makes Claudio come off as a huge star. And it makes Orange Cassidy come off as a big deal and people like that. So kudos to the crowd in Detroit. I think they were a very big part of why the show was so much fun to watch tonight. Now, Rampage this Friday, just to run down the lineup here for the show on Friday night. We've got the Young Bucks against Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi of New Japan Pro Wrestling in an eliminator match. They want a shot at the tag team titles. They have to beat the Bucks first. Tony Storm, one-on-one against Nyla Rose. And the main event is going to be the first ever what they are calling Royal Rampage. The Royal Rampage, a two-ring battle royal with 10 competitors in each ring and new competitors entering every minute. So it's basically like their version of a Royal Rumble is how it reads to me. And the purpose of the match is to crown a number one contender for Jon Moxley's interim AEW World Championship. And so I don't know who's in the Battle Royal. I can't comment on who I think is going to win because I have no idea who's in the fucking thing. But I will say this. I was thinking about, before I knew they were going to do this Battle Royal, and even after they do the Battle Royal, Moxley's going to have this title for a while. Punk's not, there's been no update on CM Punk. I'm surprised he wasn't at that show on Sunday, even on commentary or just to come out and wave. I mean, it was kind of shocking to me, to be perfectly honest with you, given where they were. But whenever Punk is ready to come back, Moxley's going to have this title for at least a few months, and he'll need a few people to challenge. I don't know if Chris Jericho is in this battle royal. I have to assume not. I can't imagine that Chris Jericho went right from Blood and Guts and losing Blood and Guts, and in the very next segment, he came back out for a battle royal. But as I was thinking about this the other day, and who would make sense to be Moxley's first challenger, or one of Moxley's first challengers, I keep coming back to Chris Jericho. And I know some people are going to be like, nah, Jericho. But you know what? It's one of the names that makes sense would be for it to be Jericho. Jericho, you know, Moxley was the person who beat Jericho the first time to become the AEW champion, right? Jericho came out on TV a few weeks ago and was complaining about the fact that, hey, you guys had this battle royal to decide who would wrestle Moxley in the main event and go on to wrestle Tanahashi at Forbidden Door. And that was the week that Jericho wasn't there. He was on a family vacation, but he came out the next week and said, I wasn't in that battle royal. That shot should be mine. I should be the one getting in the ring with Tanahashi. So he could, you know, could always go back to that and have Jericho say, look, you know, I was screwed by not being in that battle royal the first time a few weeks ago. I was the first AEW champion. I should get a shot at Jon Moxley. And it would kind of make sense. And it would be somebody for Moxley to beat. Because, you know, Jericho's not going to win. But I was looking at the roster and saying, you know what? It would kind of make sense if Jericho was going to be that guy. You know, I don't want Miro going in there and losing to Moxley. I don't want Malakai going in there and losing to Moxley. If Jericho goes in there and loses, no big deal. I mean, there's plenty of guys you could put in there with Jon Moxley. But how many of them do you want to, you know, put in there with him just to be blown off in a first defense? So again, it doesn't look like it's going to be Jericho because I doubt he's in the Battle Royal, but if they need a challenger for Moxley, you know, next month or the month after or something, it could very well be a case where they go back to Jericho. And Jericho actually, you know, look, I'm not the biggest fan of some of the work that he's been doing this year, but nor do I think he needs to be in the main event mix, but it would kind of make sense for it to be Jericho. So we'll see what comes out of this Battle Royal coming up on Friday. Let's go to the poll and see what you guys thought of this Blood and Guts episode of Dynamite. 83% thumbs up. About roughly 9% thumbs in the middle. And 8% of you say thumbs down. So get those votes in. Over 1,100 in already at Solomonster on Twitter. You can vote in the Dynamite poll. The Dynamite poll. That's how this works. What do we got here? We have got your super chats. So let me bring those up here. We'll get going on your messages because I know you guys got a lot to say. Thank you for bearing with me here. I am feeling better, but still not 100%, so at least I'm not sounding like death like I did on Friday. that was about as bad as I think I have ever done a stream last Friday. And I really had no business doing one, but I sounded awful. So at least it's an upgrade from how I sounded last week. But I am still under the weather here. We begin with Bob the Builder. Going on, Bob. What about Bob? What are your thoughts on Encore Showtime from House of Glory? Encore is the last entertainer. Encore is great. Very athletic young man who I see doing big things. B. Vincent 86 here live. The show is awesome. Sucks that Santana is hurt. Yeah, I knew a few people who listened to the show who were at the show tonight. Yeah, Bearwolf, give me a check. Where are we on those likes? Is it 300? Have we cracked 300? Because if so, I want to crack 400. 400 likes on this video before we get out of here. Anti-M Bishop. Evening, Solomonster. My Astros win today and blood and effing guts. A damn good day indeed. Hope you are feeling better. All the best. Vontel, better ladder match. Rockin' Triple H 98. Or Y2J and Benoit in 01. Y2J and Benoit. Shout out to Markel. Markel is just leaving the arena. He says he loved the show. That's awesome. I'm glad you had fun, Markel. That would have been fun to be in that building tonight. Would have been fun to be in the United Center on Sunday. That would have been fun. Quintus Brown. By the way, I don't think anybody noticed the, there it is right there. Somebody mentioned it last week. I told you I was going to get it back up. the Sala Monster Championship over my shoulder. It is back up on the wall. The wall, brother! The wall! Quintus Brown, Blood and Guts 2 was better than the first one. Props to everybody involved. Prayers to Santana. This injury bug in wrestling right now effing sucks. Food Hive, 2022, the year of the injury. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Food Hive also, I'm happily changing the channel when the Jericho Appreciation Society comes on my screen with these nicknames like the Spanish God, Big Hurt, the Magical Mike Maynard, and the Wizard. Sounds like a circus full of clowns. That's exactly what it is. One and only, is Eddie over enough to become AEW champion one day? Yeah, he's over enough. I don't think it's going to happen, but is he over enough? Yes, he is over enough. People love Eddie Kingston. Food Hive, be gone from thy television with ye bad puns and thy boy band attire. Good day to thou jesters and fools of the Jericho Appreciation Society. I decree banishment from thy television, never to return, because I am a wizard. Good day. Ortiz. Avon, Atu, Athi. M. Sund with the $3 super chat. At the end, when they were all on top of the cage, I thought I saw Eddie say he had fucked up his back. Yes, I noticed the same thing. He said that to Claudio. So again, was that just him, you know, selling in the moment, or did he really fuck up his back? I don't know. But if he did, I'm sure that was not a fun trip back down to the bottom of the cage. Rocky Road, just dropping some love. Hope you're feeling better, brother. Thank you, Rocky Road. Joshua Bonfield, hope you are feeling better, Solomonster. Isaiah Duzan, hey, Solomonster, hope you are doing better. Thank you, Isaiah. Thank you for the $2. Very, very, very kind of you. Thank you, Isaiah. Shin Akuma, Blood and Guts was a main event. Cater to me. I loved it. And he's also a lot of people thinking about Santana, hoping that he is not as seriously injured as it appears he probably is. James Cooper with that $50 super chat drop from earlier. James, thank you, sir. Just wanted to share some love. We all need positivity in these times. And let's all just remember it's wrestling. Just enjoy what we enjoy and let others enjoy what they want. Would you rather have seen Shawn Michaels against The Rock or The Undertaker against The Rock and Austin at WrestleMania? Shawn Michaels against The Rock. Diarlo Renfro. What is it? Who is that? Tomas says, speak in a Spanish accent. Okay. 10 out of 10 show tonight. The band... I can't do this. This is ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. The band attire from Jericho Appreciation Society looks like Firebreaker Chip to me from WCW. If anybody gets this reference, LOL. Love brainwashed heel Luchasaurus. I get the reference. Do I win something? Do I get a cookie? What do I get? Paul in the chat says, how are all of these dudes hurt, yet Darby Allin is fine? I don't know. He's made of something different. I don't know. It's like he wants to be in the hospital, too. Like when he had the match with Jeff Hardy, he said his goal was to go to the hospital. And somehow he manages to avoid it. I don't get it. Big Armada 1988. I don't understand Luchasaurus aligning himself with Cage right after Cage admitted to leeching off of younger talent last week. Well, because he's a dinosaur and he's dumb. That's all you need to know. He is a dinosaur. The extent to which he communicates on television is... He's not the brightest bulb in the box, which is funny because the guy behind the mask is actually somewhat bright. But yes, he is a dinosaur. So he's not meant to be the smartest person on the roster. Griga says it's gotta be Luchasaurus. Mac 2 with the $10 super chat. Love the production on this show. Great crowd too. Blood and Guts was sloppy at times, but I mean, dude, it's called Blood and Guts. I mean, there's nothing finessed about it. I mean, what do you really expect from Blood and Guts? I mean, it's meant to be sloppy. It's the whole nature of the match. It's meant to just be a fight. Fights are sloppy. Have you ever seen a fight between two people? Because I have. I mean, like at a bar or a club or something. I have. It's pretty fucking sloppy. But that's mainly because these are people who have, probably, I'm assuming, based on what I've seen, have no actual professional fight experience. So they just sort of flail around and, you know, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. But that's how a real fight looks. But thank you, Mac 2. D'Arlo Renford, do you think the Acclaimed should be babyfaces one day or stay heel for the rest of their careers? I think the crowd is already turning them babyface. I think they already are. Food Hive Ortiz. Aha, aha. Oh, wait, what is he saying? Ah, ah, ah. Oh. Ortiz, you keep making fun of me, Food Hive. Keep poking the bear. You know, it's not nice to make fun of someone who's sick. No one taught you any manners. D'Arlo set with the $15 super chat. Thank you, D'Arlo. It's very nice. Did you hear about the Keiji Muto retirement tour in NOAH, and what are your thoughts on it? An NBA question, but are you a New York Knicks fan? Or a New Jersey / Brooklyn Nets fan. I'm not really an NBA fan, so I don't really have a favorite team. And yes, I've heard about the Keiji Muto retirement tour. I don't know too much about it, but I do know that it was announced. And Mac 2, upon finally finishing Blood and Guts, sends another super chat in and says, never mind, Blood and Guts was awesome. And we are up to 341 likes. We're very close to 350. Let's get those likes up. That's right. You keep making fun of me, I'll throw a fireball in your face. Because I'm a wizard or something like that. I don't know. That's someone's lame catchphrase. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. When in a cage, ask yourself, what would Foley do? And then do the opposite. That is sage advice. Very good advice. Drew Johnson with the $5. Glad you're feeling better. They were dressed up as a Clockwork Orange. Jericho is gold. Well, look red to me, not orange. King Bling Blah, should Tony Khan let AEW talent have sponsors? I would be fine with it, but I would, if I were him, they would have to clear it with me first, because you want to make sure that there's no conflicts with any existing AEW sponsors. Or if there's an opportunity for AEW to get in on it, then maybe there could be some kind of a arrangement worked out. You know, if Tony Khan, you know, wanted to, you know, also maybe do something with that. It depends on the sponsor, really. You know, again, if somebody gets a sponsorship for a beer, you know, and it's potentially going to cause an issue either with the company or the network or something, at least clear it with them first. That would make sense. But do I think they should have the ability to, you know, secure their own sponsorships? Especially if, let's say, they have their own Twitch, if they're a gamer, as many of them are. And they have the ability to get a sponsor. I assume WWE wouldn't allow that. But yeah, I think they should have that option. Oofman Entertainment with the $10. Ed Weber, behave yourself. Says OnlyFans presents Tony Storm. Uffman says, has there been an explanation to the relationship between Ruby and Eddie? Since she debuted, she always appeared in pull-apart brawls, holding Eddie back, and was in the video package tonight as well. Well, and she came out during the match. I don't think it's ever been addressed on TV, but I mean, they're friends, so that's the nature of their relationship. King Bling Blah, 6 pay-per-views, add Grand Slam, Forbidden Door, or Blood and Guts. Oh, as a 6 pay-per-view. Well, there's only 4 right now. I mean, I don't know what you're asking me. You're asking me to add 2 or add... Well, 2 would make 6. I mean... Forbidden Door is going to be an annual thing. Forbidden Door was a big success. You know, Tony Khan thought that they did... They cleared at least 100,000 pay-per-view buys, although that's not a final number right now. He, I think, said something about how they made 6 million off the pay-per-view. They're going to see a fraction of that. They're not getting the full 6 million, so... What they actually made off of it, I don't know. But again, they sold out the United Center in one day and they did over $1 million gate. And the pay-per-view buys were not, you know, like a total disaster or anything like that. So there will be a second Forbidden Door. I think that becomes an annual thing. Blood and Guts does not have to be a pay-per-view attraction. I think it probably works better for them as a TV gimmick because you could pop a rating with it. You don't have to take an entire hour of your pay-per-view and devote it to the one match. The only drawback are the commercial breaks. That's really the only, you know, the only drawback. But I think you can keep that as a TV gimmick. And Grand Slam, same thing. Grand Slam does not have to be a pay-per-view. O'Harold, 118. Christian Cage or Kurt Angle's TNA career? Oh, Kurt Angle. D'Arlo Renford, GTA, buy, rent, or sell, GTA 3, GTA San Andreas, or GTA Vice City? Well, I'm an 80s guy, so I love Vice City, but GTA 3 was great. It's hard for me to vote against GTA 3. So I might go Vice City, and then 3, and then San Andreas. Turtlehead 2, put that belt on the line. Stop ducking me. You can pick the place and the stips. I don't care. Now, you're going to have to win a championship contenders match first. I'm sorry. That's how this works. You got to win. There it is right there. Boom. There it is. You can look, but you can't touch. You're not worthy. Food Hive. You better hide that plastic belt from Captain Planet. That ain't plastic. Let me tell you, that thing weighs a ton. That thing's every bit of 8 or 9 pounds over my shoulder right there. All silver. The custom Sound Off logo right in the middle. I love it. All right, I think I'm caught up on all your super chats. Championship contenders handicap match. Even better. You know what? I like that idea even better. You've got to do the championship contenders handicap match. How about that? Yeah, you know, all this talk about GTA. When is the next... Isn't GTA 6 supposed to come out? Like, how long before that comes out? I feel like it's been a while since there was a GTA release. What is it? A year away? A few years away? I mean, how long are people supposed to wait? Feels like it's been a while. 373. Oh, we're getting close. We're getting close to that 400 likes. Can we do it? I don't know. It'd be very disappointing if we can't. Well, we'll see. In the meantime, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
There she is, the TBS champion, victorious tonight. There she is on your screen, Jade Cargill. It is time to be the booker. And Tony Khan has been booking a lot of matches. He had the great fortune of booking the Forbidden Door, he and Gato. They put that card together. Somehow they got a card done. despite all the injuries and all the obstacles and all the shit they had to climb through. And he booked an excellent episode of Dynamite tonight. So let me see if I can have some success here with my own little Be the Booker gimmick. See if I can book some match. I'm trying to book the best possible matches for my audience. I want to do right by you people. So let's see if we can muster up some good matches here. We begin with the King of Wrestling, the King of Memphis, Jerry the King Lawler. Jerry the King Lawler back in the day, you know, back in the day, man, back in the 80s, into the 90s, in Memphis, there was nobody bigger than the King. He's been in the ring with them all. He's been in the ring with Andre and Hogan and Flair and Bret and everybody in between. Shawn Michaels. We took classic Jerry the King Lawler. Put him in the ring with... Look at this fancy boy. Hunter Hearst Helmsley. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Buzzer or bell? We're talking about the younger version of Jerry Lawler, but against this version of Triple H. The blue blood Greenwich snob version. What do you think about that? Probably buzzer, right? Yeah, I agree. Not a bad match, but I want to book main events here. That's what I want to do. I think we could do better. On the women's side, we begin with Beulah. The lovely Beulah McGillicuddy. Edge's pin on her at One Night Stand is still one of my favorite moments. I will always remember the finish to that match. Let's see, we got Beulah going one on. Oh my goodness gracious. Oh my goodness, look who it is, everybody. Look who it is, stay off the road. It's Tammy Sitch. Back in her more youthful days, when she was the most downloaded personality on all of America Online. I know, because I was one of those people downloading her. And I'm kind of ashamed now, looking back on it, that I was. But I was one of many young wrestling fans back then who would sit there on his 288 dial-up modem when it would make the kind of noise that a cat going through the grinder would make, just to dial up into the internet. And then I would sit here and the picture would pixelate as it downloaded. It would take 5 minutes just to look at one photo, and it was a photo of nothing. It was a photo of her sitting at a table or something. This is the way that things were back in the day. All you young guys out there now, all you young people, you don't know how the struggle was. This was Sunny back in her days when she was a looker. Oh, boy. It's a shame. It's a shame what she did to herself, but always remember, she did it to herself. Nobody did it to her. She did it to herself. She is a witch. She is evil. I really think that. I really think she's a narcissistic sociopath, this woman. And maybe finally she's going to get what she deserves. We'll see. Even her lawyer, her own attorney, wants nothing to do with her. So hopefully justice for her will be swift. But let's take a look at the tag team Be the Booker. See if we can end this thing on a high note. We've got the Mexicools, Super Crazy, Juventud Guerrera, and Psicosis. This is what WWE did with the Mexicools. This is what they thought of them. They dressed them up as lawnmower men. They dressed them up as landscapers. And the Mexicools are going to be stepping into the ring with John Moxley and Brian Danielson of the Blackpool Combat Club. You know, as a wrestling match, I can only give this one noise. That's the bell. That's the winning bell right there. That'd be a hell of a match. Forget the lousy gimmick they had in WWE. You put Moxley and Danielson in the ring in a tag team match against any of those three guys I just showed, I mean, that's going to be a hell of a wrestling match. Bryan Danielson alone in there with Juventud Guerrera, with Psychosis, Hypnosis. Be a hell of a match. We did good there. We did good on the tag team, Be the Booker. Not so much the other stuff. Bryan Danielson against Juventud Guerrera back at his peak would have been an incredible match. But AW brought him in, right? AW brought in Hoovy for a match with, was it Jericho? Yeah. It was the last summer, I think, when he was doing the five labors of Jericho or whatever during his feud with MJF, right? Wasn't it Jericho against Juventud at Daly's place? Good old WWE racism. The whole company was built on racism and stereotypes. Are you kidding me? But they actually did have some huge African-American and Latino stars, too, back in the 70s and the 80s as well. So, but once Vince Jr. took over, I mean, forget about it. Once Vince Jr. took over, I mean, it was just gimmicks galore. Gimmicks galore. Every stereotype you could think of. What that company was built on. 400 likes at the buzzer. Yes. Yes. All right. We got to 400 during the live portion of this. We'll get that up higher as time goes on. Hey, Marcus, have yourself a good night, man. Remember Men on a Mission? Of course. They had a great catchy theme song. Remember the WrestleMania rap that Oscar did for WrestleMania 10. We got stars galore. We got stars galore. You're going to see a show like never before. The mission is the titles and we will win. But we're all going to rock WrestleMania 10. See, that was the whole rap. I still remember it to this day, man. And you know what? They didn't win the titles. They were a bunch of failures. They went to WrestleMania. They challenged for the titles and they were fucking losers. They didn't win the championships. Dead to me. Dead. Very disappointed as a young fan. They told me they were going to win the titles and they didn't do it. You get one shot with me. After that, you're done. You're dead. Money Benny with the $1.99. What else do you like besides wrestling? What else do I like besides wrestling? I mean, I like baseball. What do I like? I like everything. I mean, women, music, movies, TV, baseball, you know, food. I mean, believe me, I got plenty of things I like beyond wrestling. That needs to be a super chat. My WrestleMania rap. Salamaster against Max Caster in a rap battle. Listen, do I like anime? No. D'Arlo Renford, will this week in wrestling return one day? And have you heard of the YouTube stand-up comedian Chiseled Adonis? He's pretty funny. I've never heard of him. And yeah, I mean, this week in history will return, but it'll probably be, you know, a few years. I mean, you know, I did it 7 years ago. I didn't expect, you know, 7 years to go by or 6 years to go by. But, you know, you cover an entire year. You got to give it a break after a while. Let some time go by. So it'll be back eventually, but it's going to be a while. You know, you gotta put some separation between it. Food Hive says one kendo stick, two kendo stick, aha, three kendo stick, four kendo stick. Jessica, with the $4.99, do you have a favorite NFL team? I'm not like a big football guy, but if I had to pick, I would go Jets, just because I'm a Jets guy more than a Giants guy. My brother's a Giants guy. I'm a Jets guy. Have I seen the Batman? No. I was going to watch it, actually, a few weeks ago, and then I saw the runtime on it. I said, fuck out of here. I mean, I'm going to have to carve out a whole night to watch that. So, no, I have not yet seen it. M. Virk. Not sure how it came off on TV, but the crowd tonight seemed great in person versus WWE shows that I've been to at Little Caesars Arena. It came off great. And again, maybe part of it was that first time in the market. So, you know, the market hasn't been oversaturated with AEW stuff. That coupled with the fact that they gave you guys a special show. They gave you guys a War Games match, right? What's not to like? The crowd came off great. I thought the crowd was hot all night long. EJ Slemp with the $4.99. When do you think New Japan overtook Pro Wrestling Noah as the best wrestling company in Japan? I think it was around the time that Misawa died. I would say it was probably around... Well, Misawa died when? I thought Misawa died like 2009. I would say New Japan, you probably say like 2012, somewhere around then, is when they really... You know, again, under Tanahashi and Okada, and they really started to become a big thing. So about a decade ago, I would say. Crash with the $2. I used to work in the arena AEW was in tonight. Doing what? Usher, concessions, security. That's cool. You didn't say what you did. Food Hive, it looks like bum-ass Yanks gonna win it all. No, they're not. Quintus Brown with the $2. Did you watch the new Beavis and Butthead movie yet? I have not. I got sick, and I didn't even remember that that was coming out. But somebody let me know. I also heard that not only was Paramount Plus putting out that new movie, but I thought they were also putting out a lot of the old episodes with the original music video. So is that true, or was that just a rumor that I heard? Because I heard that they were putting that up around the same time the movie was dropping. Do I plan on going to Grand Slam? Right now, probably not. Probably not. After this week, I don't really have an interest in... going anywhere where there's a lot of people, to be honest with you. Jessica Green with a $9.99. Jets. I just about threw up. I am a huge Miami Dolphins fan. Wrestling books and Miami Dolphins are some of my favorite things in life, along with your podcasts. Well, hey, I didn't express this great, you know, it's not like I expressed this great excitement when I gave that answer, so that should make you feel a little bit better at least. Crash said that he worked as a porter. It's very cool. Very cool. Did you get like free or discounted tickets to some of the events at the venue when you worked there? Well, I guess you would have been working, so probably not, right? We've got spicy dried chicken without flavor. Blood and Guts was great tonight. I will take a break from AEW, but I won't stop watching the Sala Monster live. Well, that's good. That's a smart man right there. So did they not add the episodes with the music videos yet? Is that what I'm gathering here? Was that a lie? Dry chicken, thank you again, though, for that $5. I appreciate it. Here lies Beavis. He never scored. You could probably say that about a lot of wrestling fans, too. We got free stuff sometimes, says Crash. Well, that's good. I would think you got to get free stuff sometimes, you know. At least sometimes. How am I with scary games? I'm weird. I enjoy them, but I don't like them also because they scare me. I'm still scarred from when I played Resident Evil 2. So I think I've mentioned that before. There was a scene in that game where I enter this hallway of a house and the background music stops and that's how you know something bad's about to happen. And I'm like afraid to move. And then I start moving and like a dog jumps through the window and I almost shit myself. And I never forgot that. So I don't, some of those I don't do well with. But then again, I was doing that. I was playing that scene in that game. I'm sitting in the dark playing it. So, I mean, I kind of did it to myself, you know. Have I watched Umbrella Academy? I have no idea what that is. Need a sound-off gamer where I play a VR horror game? I mean, I would do it. It's just, you know, I need some recommendations. And, you know, again, people also recommend games to me that, you know, if there's music in these games that can't be turned off, like, I'm not going to play it. Like, because it's going to set off YouTube alerts and, you know, strikes and all kinds of stuff. So that's the thing. I mean, some of these things, you can't really play them in like, the way they should be played. Because I'm going to have to turn the music down or off or, you know, whatever. So you got to be careful with some of these games. We got spicy dried chicken. A reminder, Stranger Things Season 4, Volume 2 on Friday. Yes, I'm aware. Have I seen Young Sheldon? No. No. And the show that it's based on, Big Bang Theory, I never saw the appeal of that at all. I've never watched the same. I've seen bits and pieces from when, like, shows I actually want to watch are about to go on, because that show's in syndication now. I don't see what's so funny about it, so I have no interest at all in any of that stuff. Thoughts on Meadow and AJ on The Sopranos? AJ was just an annoying bitch, and Meadow was quite nice. Solomonster play The Last of Us. I don't know what that's about. Solomonster plays Dark Souls. Again, don't know what that's about. Did I finish Ozark? Yes. Ozark is one of the all-time great shows I've ever watched. Big Bang Theory is always on before Dynamite. That's what I mean. I see the last, like, 10 seconds of it. And I don't know. Just, I never saw the appeal. One of the ladies, Blossom, on Big Bang Theory. She has a name, you know. Her name is not fucking Blossom. I am familiar with her from Blossom, because that show used to be very popular. And I would watch that sometimes. Not all the time. This show, I'm trying to think of, like, around the time that Blossom would have been popular. What was the show with the guy Joey who used to go, whoa? What was the name of that show? Was that Blossom, or was that some other show I'm thinking of? I don't know. I just remember his name was Joey, and he used to go, whoa! But I don't remember what show that was. I can't remember. Maybe it was Blossom. Shinakuma with the $5. I like the music before the Blood and Guts match. I love heavy music. Good night, everyone. That's like the Hell in a Cell music, you know, with the... That drum beat, that, like, dark drum beat. I think they put that out on one of the WWF anthology CDs, I believe. It was Blossom. Okay, yeah, see, that's what I remember from Blossom. I remember Joey from Blossom, who used to go, whoa! Whoa! That was, like, his big catchphrase back then. I actually went and I saw the trailer for the new... We were just talking about this a few weeks ago. The new movie coming out. Oh, his name just popped out of my head. The one who did Us. He's got another movie coming out. Jordan Peele. And I remember I saw the teaser many, many, many months ago for this next movie that he has coming out. Right? So in the teaser, they don't give you too much or whatever, but it looked really creepy. So then you guys told me that the full trailer had dropped, and I didn't even know about it. So I went and I watched it, and it's like a comedy. It's like, I guess, part horror, part comedy. I'm like, what the fuck? I thought it was just pure, like, thriller, horror, but it's got, like, 80% of the movie looks like it's just comedy. I don't want to see that. I thought it was going to be just a scary movie. And now it's like it's supposed to make me laugh. Ruin the whole movie for me. I don't know if I'm going to see it. That's very disappointing. I don't want comedy in those movies. Yeah, Nope. That's what it's called. Nope. That's probably what I'm going to say when the movie comes out. Nope. What a disappointment that was. Rizzo with the $20 super chat. As a Lions fan, Thanksgiving is a depressing day. I can see why. Love Lie says, Prey is a spinoff of Predator. Okay, I didn't know that. I must be way out of the loop. Actually, now that we're talking about all this, it's almost July. We should be hearing or seeing something soon for Halloween Ends. It's getting kind of close, right? We haven't even seen any kind of like still shots or anything. So we should be hearing about the new Halloween movie soon. Solid Monster falls asleep at the movies. I have fallen asleep at movies before. In fact, that first Star Trek movie that J.J. Abrams did, I don't know why I bothered to go see it because I'm not really a Star Trek guy. I mean, you know, I respect Han Solo and all that, but I went to the movies to go see it and I fell asleep in the middle of it. And I woke up and it was basically right at the end. So you've probably seen that meme of the guy who's sitting in like the audience at a talk show or something and people start clapping and it like wakes him up and he's like, you know, like half asleep. That was like me at the end of that J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie. I never even bothered to go back and watch the parts that I missed. I just didn't care. I think the only reason I went with friends. I would have, yeah, it's the only reason I would never have gone to a fucking Star Trek movie by myself. So I probably got dragged there with friends and, you know, I fell asleep. So sorry, Spock, but it's fucking boring. Food Hive, it's just the trailer. He always does misdirection. I hope so. I hope so, because it looked more like a comedy than anything else to me. Jessica, would you ever quit your day job and pursue podcasting and wrestling things full time? Yes. Watch Black Dynamite and Battle Royale. Magician Sapphire just wanted to show some last-minute support. Also, sorry about confusing Okada with Ibushi on the Forbidden Door stream. You don't have to apologize to me. Should apologize to Okada. Thank you, though. Thank you, Magician Sapphire. When is Pretty Boy Solomonster going to face Walter for the Royal Rumble eliminations? Well, I still haven't won the Royal Rumble. I can't do anything until I win that stupid match. So, and then I got sick, so I haven't played the game in about 2 weeks. Although I did go in to update, because if I don't go in, if I let more than a week go by without opening 2K22, there's like 40 gigs worth of updates to do. So I make sure I at least open the game once a week to update the stupid thing. I just did that the other day. It was like a 39 gig update. But I have to get back to that. I have to get back to Shredder's Revenge. I started playing that, and then I got sick, and it just threw everything out of whack. Food Hive. No Ibushi is why Forbidden Door was so good. Don't be hating on Ibushi now. I will not tolerate that Ibushi slander on my stream. I remember when I got startled during that blood test scene from The Thing. The Thing is such a great movie. The Carpenter one. It's so fucking good. It's one of my favorite movies. It's so good. I love the music, the vibe. I mean, I'm a Carpenter guy, so I feel that way about a lot of his movies, but The Thing is just a fucking work of art. So good. The Mist is on Netflix. I have seen The Mist. I just saw, was it The Mist? What did I just watch? I just watched something for the first time. I had never seen it before. About a month ago. And I don't even remember who the hell was in it now. But basically, they get locked in the supermarket, and there's this deadly mist. I guess it is The Mist. This deadly mist. It's called The Mist. I only just saw it for the first time, believe it or not, about a month ago. It was good. I enjoyed it. Magician Sapphire, with all these injuries, Tony Khan needs to tell Danhausen to lay off on the curses. The ER can start their own promotion with all of the injured wrestlers. If Jericho throws a fireball at Ruby Soho, that would be massive heel heat for the Jericho Appreciation Society. Thomas Jane, yes. Thomas Jane was in that movie. Oh, you know what? Thank you for bringing that up. Justin said the ending to The Mist. That's right. So I watched this movie for the first time. That ending was fucking depressing as shit, but I loved it. And I remember reading something about how they tested, I think, maybe more than one ending, and fans didn't like the alternate ending, maybe. But, like, the ending to that movie is, I mean, that's brutal. That is a fucking brutal ending to that movie. Holy shit. But I give them a lot of credit for having the guts to go through with an ending like that. That impressed me, actually. That impressed me. Yeah, that ending is going to stick with me for a very long time. Alejandro Santiago, dumber finish. Cena Wyatt, Extreme Rules, or Rollins and Fiend Hell in a Cell. Oh, you're talking about the little kid who scared Cena. Yeah, that was pretty fucking dumb too. But it's hard to tie. I gotta go Hell in a Cell. It's almost impossible to top the stupidity of that match. Yeah, you know, that kind of ending, it's one of those endings that I wish I was in a theater to see it, because I can only imagine what the reaction from the other people in the theater must have been. Like, when they, like just the gasp, probably. And then when the credits roll and they know the movie's over, like, everybody probably looked like a bunch of zombies walking out of there. Like, they couldn't believe what they just saw. Like, their whole night is now ruined by what they've just seen. Because it's so awful. But, like, awful in a good way. It takes guts to have an ending like that. It really does. Yeah, I heard the same thing. Stephen King said that ending was better than his original ending. I remember reading that too, yeah. My Rambo guy and Dumb and Dumber? Dumb and Dumber, no. I thought it was dumb. Rambo... Yeah, I'm not a big Rambo guy, but I enjoyed First Blood. I'm more of a John McClane diehard guy. More than a Rambo or a Chuck Norris guy or anything like that. Like, Stallone and Norris and Schwarzenegger, I mean, you had that genre, right? They were all part of it, but I was more of a diehard guy. Thoughts on Joey Ryan being fired from Disneyland. Who is that from? Is that from Paul? Was that Paul? Is that our boy Paul? Paul Heyman? He wants to know my thoughts on Joey Ryan being fired from Disneyland. Thank you, Paul Heyman. Indiana Jones is better than Star Wars. I'm not really a fan of either one of those franchises. How do you like that? What about Jean-Claude Van Damme? No, I was never really big into his movies either. I was more into some of the Steven Seagal movies than I was the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. I mean, they were so campy, but I did like some of those Seagal movies from, like, the early 90s. It's kind of they're kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. Favorite Saturday morning cartoon? When I was younger, there were a whole bunch of them. Yeah, I used to watch The Real Ghostbusters. I used to watch... Yeah, when I was a kid, I was a big He-Man guy. Thundercats... Ghostbusters. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh gosh. What was on back then, man? We had everything, man. We had all the good stuff. We had Smurfs. Smurfs were definitely on there. Dennis the Menace. There was a Dennis the Menace cartoon. I used to watch that after school. Rizzo, the look of disgust after some of Paul Heyman's super chats is priceless. Thank you, Rizzo. Darkwing Duck. Yeah, man, you're taking me back now. Darkwing Duck. DuckTales. I remember the DuckTales theme song. Actually, how could I forget one of my favorite cartoons when I was a kid, which had a badass theme song too. Inspector Gadget. Oh, that was the shit. You want a good fucking cartoon theme song? Go find that Inspector Gadget one, man. Inspector Gadget and Penny, Dr. Claw. Beowulf says he's watching Thundercats right now. Thundercats and He-Man as a little Solomonster. It was all about Thundercats and He-Man. Had all the toys. I used to watch them religiously. It was my childhood. Heathcliff or Garfield? It was more Garfield than Heathcliff with me. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? I used to watch that as well. Lynn Thigpen. Unfortunately, she passed away like 20 years ago. But yeah, that was a favorite of mine too. Acapella. Acapella. They used to sing the song. Remember how the song would start out? How the song would open and be like, whoa, boo, wop, doo, 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 bay, whoo. And then they would go into the whole theme song. Ghost Rider. Oh my God, I forgot all about that. Ghost Rider, of course. That was on PBS. Reading Rainbow. Oh my God. Now, I think these days, did they put Sesame Street on HBO or something? Like, it's ridiculous. Sesame Street was on PBS when I was a kid. I think now it's on, like, fucking HBO. It's ridiculous. Double Dare. Yeah, Double Dare with Mark Summers. You know what I didn't know until many years later when I was older? I never realized that Mark Summers is very OCD, like Howie Mandel, like very OCD. So imagine being the host of a show called Double Dare where kids are just throwing slime and shit around all day long. Like, it would drive me nuts. I don't know how he ever did it, but I never knew that about him until many years later. Was I a Nickelodeon guy? No. No, that came after... after my time. You know, again, my brother's a little younger than me, so he was watching stuff like All That and Kenan and Kel, but that came after, you know, I was beyond that at that point. Legends of the Hidden Temple, I mean, that is like a, you know, one of those cheap knockoffs of Double Dare. Then they had like Double Dare 2000 or something. They tried to reboot it. Didn't they try to reboot Double Dare a few years ago? Mark Summers was on the show, but he wasn't the host. He was some, you know, in some kind of co-hosting role or something. They're always trying to reboot the originals, and it never works. It never works. American Gladiators was a big one also, but American Gladiators here in New York would come on immediately after Superstars, like on Saturday. So you'd have Superstars at 12, and then it would go right into American Gladiators at 1. And then you had all the different gladiators. You had, you know, Mercury and Nitro and Laser, and, you know, they had all these cool names. Everybody now has their real name. Everyone sounds like a fucking geek now. What happened to the cool names? Food Hive says, Smurfette and Jessica Rabbit turned me from a boy to a man. It's a little TMI there, brother. Jessica Rabbit, I'll let you slide on that one. Smurfette, that's a little fucking weird. That's a little weird. But, you know, whatever. You want to be into that blue Smurf porn, you do your own thing, brother. What happens behind closed doors? We know what Food Hive does now when he comes home from a long day of cooking all those meals. We know what he's looking at on fucking Pornhub when he comes home now. He's looking at Smurfette. You know what? I wish you didn't tell me that, to be honest with you. I kind of think less of you now. I know. I'm not the only one. I'm like, where did that come from? Like, Jessica Rabbit, I can kind of understand because she wasn't an actual rabbit. But, like, where the fuck did Smurfette come from? Space Ghost Coast to Coast. That's right. You know, Space Ghost had some wrestlers on his show back in the day. Yeah, it was Space Ghost and, who was his co-host? Who was the other one? The Ozar? Gozar? What was? I don't remember. He had this, like, bug co-host, this insect co-host. I forgot what his name was. Zorak, thank you. I couldn't think of his name. Zorak. Is Space Ghost still around, or is that just pretty much over and done with? I haven't seen that in years. And Moltar, of course, yes. Don't forget about Moltar. Remember Eon Flux? This will be the last thing. Somebody mentioned earlier, a little earlier, Beavis and Butthead. You know, Beavis and Butthead, when I was whatever age I was at that point, I was a big fan of. And what I remember is that it would come on late, probably like 11, maybe between like 11 and 12 at night. But then when it was over, there would be another cartoon. And there would be a warning that it was like an adult-oriented cartoon, and it was called Eon Flux. But the animation on the show was so terrible. Like, I never had any interest in watching it. But now that we're kind of talking about all this, I'm kind of curious to, you know, go back and... I know you can find the episodes online. To go back and, like, watch the first, like, episode or two and just see what it's about. It was like an adult-oriented cartoon, but, like, what does that mean? Like, you know... I never watched it. I would always turn the TV off. I never had any interest in watching it because the animation, it just didn't appeal to me. Food Hive says Smurfette was a joke. He's trying to backtrack now. Food Hive is trying to backtrack. Don't backtrack on me. Don't backtrack on me. I know what you're trying to do. Look at this. He's trying to backtrack. He's all embarrassed now. We have him embarrassed. You're never going to live this down now. From here on out, you will forever be the guy who was in love with Smurfette and looks up images of Smurfette online. See, I told you I was going to get you back. What did I tell you earlier when you were making fun of me? I said, keep poking the bear and see what happens. Well, now you are Mr. Smurfette from now on. That is what happens when you poke the bear and you make fun of the man. He throws it right back at you. You are Mr. Smurfette from now on. I told you what would happen if you kept poking the bear and you kept mocking me. That you were going to get it back 10 times worse. So everybody remember, the people in the chat will not let you live this down. They will not let you forget this. You are from now on Mr. Smurfette. All right, I'm going to get out of here now. Now that we've officially branded Food High, I feel good now. I feel good. I've gotten my revenge. See, now you got to leave on a high note. Thank you for hanging out with me here. This has degenerated into something that I was not expecting this to be, but it's been fun hanging out and talking about this stuff. I did enjoy Dynamite tonight. And again, I thought that the Blood and Guts match delivered. So if you're tuning in late... That's kind of the quick overview of my thoughts on Blood and Guts tonight. But I will make sure I get that audio up tomorrow. Of course, this will be archived here if you want to go back and check out any part of the review that you may have missed. Rizzo, getting that last super chat in here. Ren and Stimpy was that cartoon when I was a kid. I wasn't allowed to watch. And I saw it in my 20s, and I see why. Yeah. Yeah, I never a Ren and Stimpy guy, but of course, everybody knows the "you idiot." I know that's from Ren and Stimpy. Even I know that. So, all right. Anyway, I'm out of here. Thank you for hanging out with me tonight. I will be back with you on Friday night. We're gonna do SmackDown, probably Rampage, but for sure SmackDown and Money in the Bank. We got Money in the Bank predictions. I'll do those with you on Friday, and then Saturday is Money in the Bank. And so I hope you'll come on back here and join me live on the channel, and then episode 763 of the podcast coming up this weekend. And that's about it. So I will see you guys on Friday night. Take care, guys.